Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the epistle reading from Romans chapter 5. And in this reading, we learn from the Apostle Paul that God gives us peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be honest, that reality sounds really great in the world that we live in, doesn't it? I mean, it seems that at every turn, it's just one thing after another that leads us away from peace. If it's not a global pandemic or a highly contentious presidential election, then it's vaccine headaches or legislation that's going through Congress. And all of those big picture items are just piled on top of the everyday life items that we have to worry about. Maybe it's family drama, kids' schedules, never mind work obligations and anything else that needs to get done. And so when you add all of these things together, frankly, I'm not really sure what you get. But whatever it is, it's the exact opposite of peace. But yet, it's into a world that was very similar to this that the Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the church at Rome. And it's into a world like this, filled with stress, filled with chaos, filled with hostility, that Paul penned these words from Romans chapter 5. He begins by saying, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." See, Paul tells us that it is because we have been justified by faith, because we have been declared righteous by God for the sake of Christ, we have peace, peace with God. We have it. The question is, do we realize it? Do we really, truly get the full effects of this in our heart and in our lives? Even in times of suffering and distress, do we truly experience the peace of God in our lives? I have a feeling I know the answer to that question for you. For more of us than not, the answer is probably no. We don't really truly experience that peace of God. And so, week after week, we come into this place to receive that peace of God. And it comes to us in many ways. It comes to us through the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. And as we're dismissed from the Lord's table, we hear the words, "The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in both body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace." Or at the end of our worship service, the words of the benediction are spoken, which ends by saying, "The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace." We indeed do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We receive that every week. But does it actually change anything? Do we walk out these doors as a renewed and changed person? Or do we walk out these doors and just return to life as it was before? Does the peace that we have with God actually change us? I'll leave you to ponder those questions for yourself. But I will say this. When we do allow the peace of God to penetrate our hearts, it truly changes everything. And that's precisely the point that Paul goes on to make as he begins in verse 3 by saying, not only that, but we rejoice, get this, in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says that we Christians rejoice always, even in our suffering. Let that sink in for just a minute. Because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice always, even in our suffering. One of the early church fathers, St. Basil the Great, once remarked, "Tribulations are for those well prepared, like certain foods and exercises for athletes, which lead the contestant on to the hereditary glory." In other words, trials and sufferings, they're ultimately for our good. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that trials and sufferings are in and of themselves good. They're not. But God uses trials and suffering. To use St. Basil's analogy, it's a bit like an athlete's diet, maybe a steady diet of beans and brown rice and kale and whatever other disgusting foods athletes eat that are healthy for them that nobody in their right mind would actually eat on a normal day. That diet, while it might not be the most pleasant in the moment, has benefits in the long run, right? And in a sort of similar way, God uses uncomfortable situations in our lives to produce endurance. And then endurance produces character. And then character produces hope. And hope will not put us to shame because we know that in the end, glory with Christ is ours. And so we can rejoice even in our sufferings because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I probably spent enough time at this point talking about the reality that we do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but I haven't really spent any time talking about what that means. What does it mean to have peace with God? So, let's take a cue from Paul as he continues in our reading and start by talking about what life apart from Christ is like, so then we can appreciate what it means to have peace with God. So starting in verse 6, Paul does just this, and he says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Notice the sharp contrast that Paul draws between us humans and Christ. We are ungodly, by definition, the very opposite of Jesus himself. We don't even get to be called good people, according to Paul. We're inherently sinful. Don't kid yourself. We are sinners. I hear people all the time say, "Oh, so-and-so, they're such a good person." No, they're not. That's horrible theology. And guess what? Not only are they not a good person, neither are you. You are a sinner. You are, by nature, inherently opposed to God's will and his ways. You're selfish. You're short-sighted. You're dishonest. You're untrustworthy. Deep down in your heart, you know that that's true. I could be even more painfully specific, but I think you get my point. We are all sinners. We are all, by nature, enemies of God. And because we are enemies of God, that means you and I all deserve death. But see, God showed his love for us. And that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. There's no rational explanation as to why. He just did. Love isn't rational. Love has no logical explanation. But it is the explanation as to why Jesus did what he did for you. Even though we are by nature sinful enemies of God, Jesus loves you so much that he went to the cross to die in your place so that you might have peace with God. So Paul, he concludes our reading starting in verse 9 by discussing the implications of this peace that we have with God because of what Christ has done for us. He says, "Since therefore we have now been justified by Christ's blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." See, the point Paul is making here is that Jesus has already done the hard part. He's reconciled us in our relationship with God. You have been made right in your standing before God. That's the hard part, and it's done. Jesus has already accomplished that by his death and resurrection. And so because Jesus has already done the hard part, we can be certain that our eternal salvation from this chaotic, stress-filled, hostile world around us, we can be certain that our salvation from this world is assured. It's a done deal. And guess what? It's a reality that we live in already now. Already now, we have peace in our relationship with God. Already now, he is working through the mess of our lives to produce endurance and character and hope. Already now, he is shaping you and I more and more into the image of his Son, Jesus. And so we can have confidence that peace, it's more than just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Peace is an objective reality in which you and I live because of what Jesus has done for us. In the name of Jesus, amen.